Blog Talk Radio.
Keep them moving, folks. Keep them moving.
The following is intended only for mature audience.
Hey everyone, welcome to Unscripted Radio through the magic of radio. It is 24 hours later. I'm Mike J. I'm alongside with me tonight by the lovely, charming, bedazzled, bejeweled Miss Karen Ashley. And of course, my partner in crime, Mr. Unflappable. I love that word. I don't know why. Unflappable
what?
Jeffrey Emmett is here as
I
well. I really don't know.
Unflappable
yesterday. I was like, I don't even know how to take unflappable.
Yeah, I was like, them fighting words. Make me come across the studio and kick your ass right now, okay? You better hope Jake will hold me back.
Oh, God. Is unflappable, it's a good thing, though, right? Isn't unflappable a good thing?
Unflappable?
Unflappable.
I don't know what it is.
Michael, you need to go check your dictionary again, motherfucker, and then come back at me, okay?
All right, I'll look it up right now. We don't find out what unflappable means. I've just
yeah, go turn around. Jake's giving you the finger. Ha-ha.
Unflappable. All right, well, okay, unflappable. Synonyms. Imperturbable. Unperturbed. No, unflappable is good. It means having or showing calmness in a crisis. So unflappable is a good thing. I don't know.
I don't picture that as being calmness.
Miss Kitty, would you describe Mama as being unflappable?
No.
Thank you.
Absolutely not. I would consider Mama absolutely flappable. And problems arise, Mama's flapping all over the room, freaking out.
I kind of hate this bitch right now. I'm not going to lie to you.
Well, Mama. Mama, you got your choice. Would you rather be flapping about a room or waddling about a room, all right?
Oh, my God.
You know what I'd rather be doing? It's talking about your love life where we left off last night, and you cut me off.
Had to go. It was only a one-hour show.
Yes,
all right, all right. Well,
listen,
we can get into the juiciness. It's all good, but, you know, we do need to save something for the reality show, because, you know. But go ahead, shoot.
Aw, do you hear someone sounding cowardly like a lion?
You mean a llama?
Listen, a llama.
No, he's a cowardly lion, like in Dorothy Nitwit.
This shit is spicy tonight. I don't know what happened. Miss Kitty, what happened in the past 24 hours that you're so feisty all of a sudden?
It's early. Why you people got me up early?
I know. What are you talking about? Mike, hello. We've been shooting a reality show all day long. We've been drinking. We've been carrying on. We've had cameras in our face all day. They put makeup on my ass. Like, hello?
Because crack kills.
Well,
it's show business.
Because crack kills.
Oh, my God.
It's show business, Jeffrey.
Well, listen, they had to put the makeup on your ass because when they shaved it, you got all bumpy and shit. So it was for your own good.
That's so rude. That's so rude.
Well, hey, at least, Michael, I'm sorry, bitch. You can shave my ass all day, but at least I didn't have to use spackle on my face, bitch.
Yes, this is true. This is true.
Ouch, you guys.
Actually,
like, we need the battle sounds. Like, you know how they were like, pow, pow, poo, pow. You know,
no, I would like to just thank God now. Michael and I, like, middle school was rough in the sense that he had horrible acne, and I got it really bad, always on my nose.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, oh, God, it was bad. But, like, I cut out chocolate and soda, and I stopped getting them. Like, if I drink a lot or have a lot of chocolate, like, I'll break out. But
I have
Mike,
a question. How was your skin in elementary school?
It was beautiful. It was like a baby's ass.
Wow. Well, my kid would be more into that.
They say elementary really funny. It's elementary.
Right.
Elementary, my dear Watson.
So let's get back to Mike's personal life. This
yeah,
is
seriously.
Yes, and how it is bustling because, you know, in my adult years I have discovered the wonderful stuff that is endorsed by Vanessa Williams' proactive solution. It does amazing results, let me just say.
Good for you.
Yeah, you have very nice skin now, except when they have to spackle it.
Well, you know.
You guys are so
hey, he could say I need to get my ass shaved. I could say he needs spackle on his face, okay? Give my ass.
Right, and then get makeup to cover up the bones. That was actually crazy. Oh, man. Yeah, that's very fresh. So, Mike, you're in L.A.
Yeah.
What do you want to do? I mean, you're single. You know, it's just one of those things. You were texting me the other day about it. And I was like, we were talking about your relationship. Oh, no, maybe we weren't texting. We were talking on the radio. And we were talking about your relationship. And I was like, Mike, do you really want to come to L.A. attached to someone? Really?
Well, listen. That was going to go one of two ways. And we, this particular person and I, had that conversation.
Look,
you know, being
everybody knows who it is. It sounds like Jigs, but put an S on it. Just saying.
Oh, Jesus.
Keep Jigs. So
anyway, we had had that conversation, and the fact of the matter was is neither one of us were willing to – well, no, I'm going to take that back. I was willing to commit. I had been in the process of making drastic life changes and grand gestures – ooh, it's all coming out now – for a certain person – and while they just weren't willing to accept that, it's like they just wanted to pick a fight. So, you know what? I'm glad it's all done, you know, now that I'm in L.A., because chances are what happened was it would have went down in L.A. via some random person, a random Power Ranger. Who knows? You know. You never know.
Or someone off the internet or whatever.
Exactly. I'm glad our house that we're staying in has Wi-Fi, because otherwise I would be on Jeffrey's iPhone on Adam for Adam. Anyway. I'm glad that's all worked itself out, because otherwise it just would have been a big fight when the show aired, or I'm sure there would have been, there wouldn't have been drunken texts because he didn't have a cell phone. Ugh, loser.
Wow, low blow.
What? I'm not allowed? I'm bitter. Give me a break. But you know, I'm glad, because you know what? It's good that I am going into this unattached, because there's a lot of stuff
that... Well,
because
you've been a whore, dude. You've been, like, with, like, six guys already.
Well, you know...
I'm just kidding. It's only been two.
Wow.
Well, why did everybody get quiet? We all, like, you're all shocked that Mike's a whore? Like, this is not doing people.
No, I was listening. I was waiting to hear Mike's reaction. He didn't even react.
I'm sorry, Michael. I apologize. You are not a whore. You do not get paid. You are a slut. Sorry.
Well, listen. Mama's been calling me a whore and a slut since, like, eighth grade. All right? So it's nothing new to me. I'm used to it by now.
I don't know why you say that I called you that, because I was the first one to have sex, bitch. Thank you. You smoked weed first. I was getting busy.
Whoa.
I can't imagine one weed, Mike. Oh, my gosh.
Listen, I was actually a prude. When it came to sex, I was actually quite a prude. I did not officially lose my virginity, straight, gay, or otherwise, until I was like 21.
Okay, wait. How old were you when you and a boy got together, but without, you know, bang, bang, banging, just, you know, the whole oral?
You know, honestly, I can't remember. I think the first time it was like, I don't know. I think I was still living at my dad's, so maybe I was like 17 or 18, and it was some guy that I met online, and he was like 30, and he came over, and I don't know. He just sort of laid on top of me a little bit, and I wasn't really sure what was happening.
That's why you like them young.
You know, he kissed me and then said, "Thanks, Mike," and then he left. So, I mean, I really don't know what occurred.
Oh.
Strangerhood. Predator.
That's the perfect story about Strangerwood, yeah.
Well, here's the thing. Everybody knows when Michael was 18, he looked like he was 9.
Well, you know. Yeah, listen, now that I'm pushing 30, I look like I'm finally legal, so it's all worked out quite nicely.
Wow.
That's funny, though. That's hilarious.
So, but now, let me understand if I get this right.
Huh?
You, oh, I'm sorry, what, Karen?
No, I said that was better to look young.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So go ahead, Jeffrey. I'm sorry.
So, Mike, you're telling me the whole time you were with this yutz on the phone and blowing the rest of us off, you never Skyped, and you didn't really do any sexting?
Well, I did have some time, you know, making sure my business was taken care of.
With or without a stranger or a friend helping you?
No, just me and the person breathing on the phone, as Jeff would say.
Oh, that doesn't count.
The person breathing? What? I'm so confused.
The point
we're
is,
talking
my
about
sex life is creepy.
We're talking about the guy he just dated from the chat room. Don't you?
Nobody knows what we're talking about. I completely know, but it's just so odd.
Well, all right, lay it out there, Miss Ashley. What's so odd about it? I mean, I have commitment issues.
Okay, you guys never, like, so you said with the person breathing, what do you mean they weren't saying anything? They were just, I don't know how that works.
There's a lot of times that it was sort of, you know, just silence. It was more of a mutual understanding that we were spending quality time together.
No, you didn't even know each other.
No.
You can't just sit there and not talk.
That's weird.
And second of all, you're not talking, but you're not allowed to work on show stuff because the person would get mad. Like, are you kidding me? Hello, can we say bad shit crazy? 1, 2, 3 times. Say it with me. Go ahead, I'll wait.
No.
Bad shit crazy.
You know, a month ago or whatever, we had our personal one-on-one interviews with our director, Jill, and she pointed out to me through our lengthy interview discussion, which was more like therapy for me.
Oh, great. Did you totally diss me on that, too?
No, I didn't. This person in that we're talking about now was as controlling of a person as I was. And it was just...
You know what's crazy about it, Mike? Your friend, Jeffrey, who's known you your whole life, told you this from the very beginning, that this guy is controlling. And you didn't want to hear it. But having a stranger, like Jill, who you don't really know, you believe them.
Well, you know, she's a Hollywood director. She gets paid to tell me how it is.
No, I mean, I just think that's, to me, it's just what there's something wrong with that whole scenario where, you know, it was just kind of strange. And I know in hindsight you realize things about certain people or different situations you put yourself in. But when everyone's telling you the same thing, at what point do you say, maybe I'm the person who's not open to, you know, maybe I'm just, you know, not wanting to hear what they're saying, as opposed to us being wrong?
Well, no, I don't think there's anything wrong with putting stock in what a stranger tells you. I mean, you don't have anything to lose. I mean, look, people that are close.
Okay,
to
but you don't think somebody that's telling you something that's known you your entire life and is telling you, I'm worried for you because I know what you do and I know how this plays out and I know what's going to happen, and you don't listen. And I'm telling you that he tried to get with me before he got with you, and he was nuts.
Look, I don't put a lot of stock in what people that are close to tell me. Well, yeah. But I mean,
how ass backwards is that, Michael? If you can't trust the people near you, and you have no reason not to trust me, I will never understand it. But anyways.
I don't, because it's always going to be folks that, whatever, have their own hidden agenda. I mean, a complete stranger that just points something out to you, what do they got to lose? You know,
but
I mean,
this is where I think it's so crazy. Why do you feel like he has a hidden agenda? He's your friend.
I never said he did. I'm generalizing. I'm
Mike, maybe the problem is because you have hidden agendas, you think everybody else does, and the rest of the world doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
Could be. I'm just generalizing. I mean, that's the way it is, and that's how I operate.
Yeah.
Oh.
Conspiracy.
Well,
theorist.
No. I mean, I think everybody operates differently in relationships. It's definitely a telltale sign when you're in a relationship how things work. I can say, just being in my relationship, you know, I've lost close friends because of it. And it's the strangest thing. You would think that my friends would be so happy for me because I'm so happy and I'm in such a peaceful place in my life. But they were closer to me when I was in a horrible relationship than they are now that I'm in a good relationship. It's almost like I've been cut off of the circle of friendship. Seriously. And it's like the only thing I can even justify in my mind why someone would do that who's supposed to be close to you is that I look at all their relationships and they're all in bad relationships. So now I have nothing bad to say about my personal life.
I got plenty.
Nope. Well, I mean, nope. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying my life is perfect. But, you know, when it comes to love, I'm in a good place when it comes to love. I always do like a little checklist.
Me too.
Career, love, friendship. Like you always kind of do a checklist. Like where are you in these things? And you know, there's always some that are just horrible, and then there's always some that are like you go, okay, I got one. Woo! I got one. I got love. Like that's how
well,
I'll be.
Well,
like,
I think that's the biggest
here.
One. I think
what
that's the biggest one. Love is I think the most important.
Yeah.
I would say I'm pretty good at getting people to fall in love with me. I'm not the best at staying in love when that happens.
Right.
That seems to be my track record.
Wow.
But I have the world's best friends, and I'm still cool with somebody I ever dated. Like, if I call them up and said, hey, let's get back together, they would all say yes.
Right. So tell me this, if your best friend gives you advice when it comes to someone you're involved with, like let's say you're in a relationship, do you listen to their advice or do you take it as, would you rather get that advice from a complete stranger? Because that's a great topic. That's an interesting point of view.
Well, you know what? If my friends don't like who I'm with, I take it and I scroll it away, I listen to it, but I don't necessarily take it as the end-all, be-all, you know, right away.
Right, right. I mean, I think for me, it's like I need to, and I've always been this way, my dad will totally attest to this, is I need to figure things out for myself, even if that means going the most hardest and difficult route. I have always, and not just with, like, love and relationships, but with anything, with jobs, with friends, all of it, with school, education, all of it. I always need to take the most difficult route. Always.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's just who I am. And I mean, I've embraced it. I realize it. And, you know, I must be comfortable with it enough to not be willing to change it. So, hey, let's have a drink.
Right. Right. I always say, I mean, everybody maneuvers differently in love. It's such a tricky thing because love is such a, like, or just relationship. I'm referring to it as love, but you know, to more of an intimate thing because it's such a, like, it's almost like such a soul-bearing situation that sometimes you don't know how to maneuver in it, you know?
No, right, exactly. And, I mean, I got to say, like, you know, Jeff and I talked about this whole little deal that I was in for this past, you know, 2.5 months prior to our reality show. And I do have to admit, some of it towards the end was very uncomfortable for me, but I was using that. And I know this is terrible, as an experiment to put myself in situations that I normally don't like to be in to see how I would react. So, yes, in a sense, go ahead, chew me out. I was using this person as a way to discover stuff about myself.
Right.
There, I said it.
Well, no, I mean, I think that's a very honest thing to say.
You know, and I hope that particular person isn't listening right now because, you're going to be pissed.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I think, I don't know. I mean, I think it's a bad thing if you maliciously use someone, but I don't think you maliciously used anyone. I think it was just, you know.
Well, no, I mean, I didn't go into this with that mindset in. But, you know, I mean, there was all these little things that it had occurred. Oh, my God, there's an earthquake on Days of Our Lives. I'm sorry, I got distracted.
Why are you watching Days of Our Lives right now? Like, how are you even doing that? We're sitting across from each other in a studio. Well, in the rental house.
Sorry.
He's watching it on his cell phone.
Yeah, I got a tweet or something. Anyway, so, you know, I mean, there was all these little things that had occurred in this 2.5 month period where normally, and Jeff could attest to this, I just want to be like, F you, buddy. I'm done. Goodbye. Let me tell you about yourself.
I just want to pump you. Kissing in love because you got to.
No, and just be done with it. But I progressed with it, and I wanted to run with it and see how ultimately it would be and how I dealt with it. So, you know, I didn't go into it thinking, hey, let's use this person as a test run for anything. I ultimately went into it with good intentions. And, you know, towards the end, I stretched myself a little bit to the limit with what I would put up with.
Wait a minute.
You know?
You said in the beginning that you did this whole thing to test yourself to see how it would be. Like, you used it like it was a science experiment.
Not from the beginning. From the beginning, it was actually kind of good. You know, it was all fun. But then after, I would say, about the first, probably when we had the first big thing, which was about maybe a month to it, I think. I can't remember.
Isn't that the worst? It's like you don't get the crap until you're already hooked.
Yeah.
It's not fair.
You didn't even get to see the kid in person.
Well, yeah, weird.
Well, you know, honestly,
it was an unorthodox situation. I think we already established that, but.
Well, you know, it was exactly. It's unorthodox, but in some ways, not being able to actually see this person made it all that much more easier for me to just pretty much like walk away. Because let me tell you, the first relationship, serious relationship I was ever in was with a guy. And we were in it for like a good 8 months. That relationship was honestly, quote unquote, over after the first 3 months. But we rolled with it for another 5.
Why?
Because I was too afraid to break up with him and he was too afraid to break up with me.
So you were dependent, codependent.
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pretty much. You know, I rolled with it, you know.
Uh-huh.
And trust me, that guy, because
I don't think you even gave him really a chance. Like, you just got stubborn and you were like, yeah, peace, whatever.
What do you mean? I stuck with it for 5 months after it was pretty much done.
Yeah, but you were still upset afterwards. Like, I feel like, yeah, but you, like, you just shut down. Like, you weren't giving the emotions. Like, you were like, nope, not getting hurt, not doing this.
Well, yeah, I mean, who doesn't do that to protect themselves? I mean, come on.
Most people take chances and they're open to experiences because getting hurt is a part of life. And if you don't get hurt and go through those emotions, like, I feel like you have to do that in order to be successful at anything. Like, you have to have a broken heart to be able to appreciate being in love.
I did that one. Not a fan of doing it again.
Yeah, okay, but you're having broken hearts by people who never loved you back to begin with. Like, you weren't in a relationship. Maybe in your head you were.
Well, exactly. In my head it was real enough, so, you know, that counts.
I think
Jeffrey brought up a good point, though, Mike. Like, I've seen you as, you know, just working with you on this show, you got a controlling thing about you, and you can't. You got to almost walk out on faith when it comes to love, and you do have to have a broken heart, and you do have to have a torrid affair, and you do have to have this meaningful relationship. Like, it all brings you to a place when something good comes into your life, you really appreciate it. And you really have to appreciate the person for who they are, you know? And it's kind of like, you can't, like, go, oh, I've been there, I ain't trying to do that again. It just doesn't work that way, or you'll never be in a relationship. And the crazy thing is, I really think you, of all three of us, really want a relationship, but you won't admit to it.
Well, no, I'll admit to it. Like, I do. Whether or not I want to put in
That's not what you said 2 months ago. When you were like, I don't need a relationship to be happy. I don't need one. I don't want one. Blah, 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 blah.
Well, no, I don't think I do need one to be happy. I think it is a natural and healthy part of the full, you know, human emotional experience. But
you act like this is a video game.
isn't most of life ultimately, not the video game, I wouldn't use that particular word, but ultimately every aspect of life is quote-unquote a game. I mean, look at the education system. That's a game. You need to play it. Relationships are part of that as well.
I think dating is a game. I don't think the relationship is a game.
Right.
It is to a certain extent. I mean, obviously, yeah, dating is a game. But even in a relationship with a person, there are certain, like, levels that you need to get to the next level, and there are certain things you're going to have to do and certain demons you're going to have to fight.
No, Michael, you're just honest. Like, when I'm pissed at Joe, I tell him. And when he's pissed at me, he usually walks away and doesn't say anything because he knows it makes me even more crazy. And then he'll tell me. Like, I don't not tell him. Like, we don't need to get to any level. Like, we're just honest with each other. And we have fun together. Like, it's not that complicated. You're making it so much more complicated than it really is.
No,
like,
I wouldn't
put it as
simply
as that. We just enjoy each other's company.
Yeah, but to get to that point where you actually ought to enjoy each other's company, you got to put in a shootload of legwork.
No, you don't. Look at, we met Karen. Okay, we met Karen because I Facebooked her, got her on the show. She did the show with us for an hour. We all clicked. We put no effort into it. It just happened. And then the next thing you know, she started doing the show. I mean, there wasn't a shit ton of effort to go to this. It just happened. It's one of those things. You meet friends. You meet somebody randomly, and you become their... I mean, you don't. But, I mean, most of us will meet somebody, be like, hey, and the next thing you know, you're hanging out with that person because they're cool. There's no effort. It just happens. You just do. That's what you're not getting, and you're missing out on life because you're making everything way more complicated than in reality it really is.
Well, that's fine. I mean, ultimately, I am a controlling person, and I need to be in control of things. So, you know, not being able to be in control of certain uncontrollable situations is very uncomfortable for me. So, I mean, I own that, and that's the way it works out. That's how it's going to play out.
Well, that is why it makes sense that Mike likes him young. Because those Backstreet Boys are easily controllable.
Yes, they are.
But that's not a good, because you always set yourself up for failure, because I really think the day that you realize that you cannot control anything is the greatest day of your life, because you're willing to be, you're willing to just go with the flow, and you're willing to just, like, enjoy life, as opposed to overanalyze it. Like, I think you're missing out on so much, Mike. Like, just the times that I catch you when you're, you know, just having fun and you're off the cuff, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is great. Like, this is the Mike everyone loves and adores. And then it's like you're missing out on so much trying to control things. You know, does
that can I bring up one point, though? He likes to be in control all the time, but he likes to be choked out, which is a very submissive position.
Well, listen,
yeah.
if you want to get into sexual fetishes, that's a whole other topic. There's a very...
Well, no, but it's,
you're
but
so
it's psychological.
Complicated, Mike Jay.
Yeah. You like to give up control in the bedroom, but you like to have it 98% of the time.
Yeah, listen, I'm like an onion, all right? There are many, many layers that you need to peel.
And they all make you cry.
That they do.
No.
That they do.
Well, I find that I myself am very controlling. Like, in general, I'm kind of a type A personality, kind of bossy and domineering. Those are words I get a lot. And I find that I try to find a man that is very strong as well. Otherwise, I'll just walk all over him, and I won't respect him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, I like someone. And it's so weird. Like, I'm like, self-destructive in that respect because I am very controlling, but at the same time, I want someone who is going to be able to stand up to me and put me in my place. So automatically, I'm setting up a very unhealthy dynamic there.
No, you don't, because the minute they stand up to you, you're going to freak out.
We didn't really know what happened with this relationship, and this person that he was in the relationship with. I don't know how long were you guys dating? I mean, you guys were dating for a little while. I mean, Mike was pretty, like, you know, he listen to a lot of the things this person said.
I thought
I
thought he gave a lot more to it than he would let on that he would normally do.
Oh, I gave a lot more than I would normally do. Trust me.
I don't think that's true. I think, Michael, that's what you do. I think you just don't want to admit that when you get in a relationship, you kind of, like, you crumble and you did whatever he, like, you were like, oh, well, he said this, so I have to do it. Like,
Happening. No, there was a lot of valid points. A lot of valid points that he made, which, yeah, they hurt like hell to have those brought up, but he made a lot of valid points. And it's a lot of, like, self-realization, which, you know, which sucks, and which is why, towards the end, like, I was putting myself in those uncomfortable situations because I needed to have those experiences. You know, I gave a lot more than I was ever normally be comfortable with. I mean, I was open and I was receptive to it. I don't think I've ever been that way in any other relationship that I've been in, because normally when people decide to tell me about myself, that's it. Peace out, I shut down, and I'm done.
Right.
Okay, and what about the person that's known you your entire life? I try to talk to you about shit, and you're just like, that's just who I am. Like, you won't even entertain the notion that there's a problem.
Nope, sorry. Won't do it.
Exactly. That's exactly what he's talking about. What is that about?
What is that, Mike?
I'm sorry. I failed to see the problem.
Oh, man.
I mean, no, I really don't. Like, what's your point? Like, that I'll entertain ideas and suggestions from someone I've known only, like, 2.5 months or in an hour phone conversation versus someone I've known for, like, 2 decades?
Yeah.
Like, somebody, okay, I've always been the one to take care of you. Every time you get crazy and do your shit, I take care of you. They don't. Like, I take care of you at your worst moments.
Yeah, but I mean, we're just friends. It's not like I'm trying to have a love affair with you.
No, but still, like, that counts. Like, that actually is so, when you have a friend who helps you like that in your darkest times of need, I mean, that is an amazing thing.
And that's deeper than most love affairs you'll ever have.
Yeah. Sometimes friendships are way deeper than your love affair.
Yeah, like, I've had friends for 20 years that I know have loved me more and will love me more than most people I date.
Right. Right. Like, I've been friends from, like, junior high. I mean, I've got a really good friend from junior high that I talked to yesterday. We talked on the phone for 2 hours. We hadn't talked in probably 2 months. And just talking to her is just so, like, we pick up literally from where we left off. You wouldn't know, like, it's so strange. The connection is so strange. The stories, the history, the laughs, the tears, the breakups, the makeups, the now she's got children, she's got a baby. I mean, it's like we've shared our entire lives together. The career highs, the career lows, this girl has been around and has always been a good friend to me. So anything that she has, and it's funny because, you know, you guys know that I'm in a great relationship, but we don't necessarily feel the need to rush and go to the altar and get married. Like, that's just not something that we're like, oh, my gosh, we got to get married tomorrow. My girlfriend got married last year, so I got to get married this year. It's not like that. Like, I'm not that person. I think we'll get married, and the day that we decide to do it, we just do it. And then we'll probably have to plan another wedding because everybody will be pissed off that we didn't have a wedding. And I'll have to be like, okay, we got a date set, and we're going to have a wedding. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But it's like, every time I talk to her, she talks about, you know, me getting married. And she goes, I just think it's so funny that you just, you know, you're very comfortable not being married. And I go, I know. I think it's so funny that you're married and you just really want me to be married too. And I don't understand. And she goes, and I go, but what I do understand is I appreciate the advice coming from a happily married woman. I love the fact that you want me to be just as happy as you. And she thinks getting married was the biggest, and she goes, that was the best moment that we made that commitment. It was like I started my family. I started my life. He is my everything. I am his. It's so amazing. And I think that you would have that. And she just is like so I, you know, she even said, she goes, you better not get married and not tell me so I can be there. I don't care if I'm 12 months pregnant. I'm going to be in my closet to the freaking wedding. But, you know, but this is a close friend that, I mean, we were in seventh grade together. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I think it's beautiful. And even though I'm like, and she, now she talks not only weddings, she talks children. She's like, I have to see a little Karen Ashley run around. And I'm like, woo, girl, you are pushing it with me today. And we laugh. But I don't get offended by her. I don't get offended by her advice. I get, like, I think it's such a beautiful thing that my best friend can be very candid with me. And she's very religious. And she's like, you know, I just think you should get married. And this is why XYZ. And then she lets it go. And I'm like, and I, her advice is valid and vital to my life. I think it's so valid. Now, if a stranger came up and walked to me, I would be offended if they gave me that same advice. But I'm like, you don't even know me. So that's where I think it's strange for us, because we're kind of like, why do you seem so, like, so opposed to anything Jeffrey says to you? I mean, he's known you for so long. I don't think he would ever try to hurt you.
Oh, no, I'm sure it's not. It's just I operate under a different principle, that's all. I mean, it's not just him. I mean, I, you know, I told you, I don't know if Jeff was here or if he was making sandwiches or something, but, you know, I don't like taking advice from my family either. Like, and it's not
really?
Just
okay.
Really. Yeah.
I mean, like, I said,
my dad has always said that I have always been the one to need to just go the long, the hard route on everything. And it doesn't matter if he could tell me, my stepmom could tell me, my mom could tell me. I need to be able to figure it out for myself. And until I do, no one else's point is going to be that
one. Yeah, but I don't think you're figuring it out yourself, Michael, because when you go and you're telling somebody a story, you give them a fucking version of the truth that's not even, like, remotely close to what happened.
So what?
So, I mean, you're never learning anything and you're never getting anywhere because you're not getting the whole story. You're not opening your eyes to the whole story. You're just viewing it from what you want to believe and not what actually happened.
So still, what's your point?
So how can you ever grow and change when you're not even trying to? You keep going in this pattern. You've been doing it for years. Nothing's changed. Nothing.
Well, right, and maybe until I realize that on my own, that I don't want to hear it from anyone else.
But, Michael, you're not 18. You're going to be 30. You're grown. You are an adult. It's time to wake up.
Maybe I'll do it when I'm 40. I mean, everyone does things at their own pace. That's my point. Like,
Michael,
I don't
look,
mean,
I'm telling you right now, if it takes you till 40, I will be in prison because I will murder your ass and bury you in my backyard.
Oh, no. That was
yes, I said it on the radio, so there's a lot of witnesses, and I will gladly sit in prison.
Reality, though.
Oh, boy.
One thing I will say about you, Mike boy, you have your convictions and you do not even sway one inch. Like, it's crazy. It's crazy.
I'm true to my character, if anything.
So tell me this. So what, so in your last situation, what was it about him that made you, like, You seem to have really learned a lot. You said that you were contemplating a life change. You were, you know, there were a lot of things that he brought up that you said were kind of scary or, I mean, just kind of like you didn't want to hear. What was it about him that you were so open and you were so, I guess, receiving of his opinion?
No, maybe it's just because it had been a very long time since I had gotten. And, I mean, yes, it was only, you know, a quick little thing, but, I mean.
Doesn't matter. Yeah, I understand. You can meet someone. You're talking to the girl who met someone and moved in 2 weeks.
Right. I mean, here's the thing that people, you know, fail to realize with this particular situation was that, yes, to the outside world, they may view it as we only ever talked over the phone and that was that. I mean, there was quite a few emails.
Right.
Yes, it was over the phone, but we were on the phone sometimes 3-4 hours a day. longer on the weekends. You know, so there was
I don't think we questioned your connection because you guys were connected. Like,
you
that's
know,
no question.
Right.
No doubt.
I mean, Mike, I used to do this too.
It was just kind
I mean,
of like all of a sudden. Like, it was almost like on the outside looking in, we were like, oh my gosh, like it was just all of a sudden, and it just seemed like you were so taken and so changed and so controlled by this person. That's all we saw. We could be completely wrong because we're on the outside looking in, so we don't doubt your connection with that person whatsoever. It may have been unconventional, maybe it wasn't something we would have done, but there was a connection. You guys had a thing for a while, and so, you know, hats off to you. I mean, it's not, don't ever think that we're, I'm not belittling the situation.
Right, I mean, I think what it was, you know, I just, it had been such a long time that I have had someone, you know, more or less a complete stranger. I mean, obviously not after 2.5 months, it wasn't a complete stranger, but someone like that coming into my life, you know, and building sort of that base and foundation of trust, being able to take what he says and being able to realize it, it was sort of a fresh perspective. I mean, no offense, Jeff, but when you talk to me, it's like a friggin' broken record. I've been hearing the same shit for 10 years, you know? I mean, quite frankly, it's you know, not weighing in as much as it should. But
it does from some complete fucking stranger who's a douchebag, was a drug dealer, lives at home with his parents, has no life experience, was 25 and doesn't have a job. He has more brains and has been through more than me. Are you nuts, dude? Like, come on. You need to get a grip on reality.
And it is, if that's the way it is. I mean, I know it doesn't, you know, sit well with you that I take stock in what strangers tell me or people that haven't known me as long, but unfortunately that's the way it is, you know, and it was a very self-realizing situation. And, I mean, I've always said this about anything with life, is that even if it's not a good situation, or it starts out as a good one and it turns into a bad one, you take it as it is and you learn from it and you move on. Any experience I've ever had in my life, I don't regret it.
Right.
It's meant for a reason.
That's good.
It's
yeah, absolutely. Wow. One thing I can say is, Mike, you are a very interesting person. Like, you need to be a case study. I've never met anyone like you.
Well, you know, let me just tell you what, like, after my interview with our director, she kind of said the same thing. She was like, wow, you've given me so much.
Really?
I don't think you knew what to say to me.
I don't even know, Mike, wow.
I mean, I'm a walking contradiction. I told her when we first started off our interview that I was a very private person. By the end of that, like, hour and 15 minutes we were on the phone, she knew my whole life story.
Wow, Jeff, we're going to have to corner her and make her tell us everything.
I know. I wasn't even on the phone with her that long. Like, her and I were, like, done after, like, a half an hour.
Oh, no.
Oh, how funny.
She got it all.
Wow.
Thank you, God.
Bargain.
I can only imagine. She probably thinks I'm, like, the worst person on the planet.
Listen, it wasn't even about you. You were brought up very seldom during that phone call. It was about me, all right? I think at one point I said to her, I'm like, wow, this is really good. This is, like, free therapy. You should be charging me for this.
That is hilarious. That is hilarious. Wow.
Holy shit.
It just, wow.
Don't you worry. The one point I made very clear to her during our interview, and it looks like it is coming to fruition during our shoot, is that the bar needs to be fully stocked. So we're good.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. Well, I think anyone can get into the dynamics of friendship. And you and Jeff, your friendship and the dynamic of that, I don't even know how to describe it. Like, it's crazy. And
I take care of him, and he trashes me. That's kind of how this works.
Wow.
It works for 20 years. Why change it? Why fix it if it ain't broken? That's all I'm saying.
It is.
Mike, that's horrible.
What? That's my
same broke, don't fix it.
It is broke. It's very broke. And that's why I'm trying to tell you, but you don't listen.
Well, we only got like
you and Jeffrey
14 and a half minutes.
If you didn't, if you decided to no longer be friends, how do you honestly think that would affect your life?
I don't know. I mean, we've gone through periods before in our friendship where we haven't talked for a couple of years, you know, and I wasn't terribly devastated about it then. I mean, sure, you know, it. I mean, I'm not trying to be rude or callous. I'm being legit honest, you know. I mean, you get used to having people in your life, but I'm such, you know, an emotionally unresponsive person when I'm sober that it probably would not even come into an issue until I had had too many to drink.
So, I mean, who else are your friends, Mike? Do you have other friends?
Well, yeah, I mean, I've got...
what's your name?
Amy.
Stacey? Amy, I don't know.
Who has as many issues with you as I do because you are doing the same shit to me or doing the same shit to her that you do to me.
Yeah, her and I are fine.
That's what you think.
Oh, no, her and I have talked. We're fine.
I don't know. But that's it. Amy, okay. Go ahead. Name 10 people. We'll wait.
How many people do you possibly need in your life? I mean, if you
well,
need to have...
That's not a number, but I just wonder.
I mean, my thing is, and I've always had this, is like, if you need that many people in your life to support you, what the fuck are you... What the fungul are you doing with yourself that you can't support yourself, you know?
What does that have to do with supporting yourself?
Yeah,
like, maybe it's just people I genuinely enjoy being around you because
right.
you're fun to be around. They think you're funny, and they want to be a part of your life.
Yeah, it's just camaraderie. It's healthy interaction. I think that there's a reason why God didn't put one person on the earth. He put people on the earth to interact, you know? There's a reason for the things that are the way they are. And I think if you're able to connect with people, I think it's a beautiful thing. And maybe you talk to people every day, maybe you don't, but I think it's a great thing to have, you know, it's really a blessing to have friends. I know that to be true.
No, sure. I mean, it's great and you need people to talk to. And I've got people in my life that I can't
talk. You have one.
So maybe one is all I need. Did that ever occur to you that maybe I don't need people all around me constantly?
Yeah, Mike, but here's the thing. You get drunk and then you lose your mind because you're so lonely.
So
that's what you don't get. You don't remember the shit you do when you're drunk. You don't remember the fact that you cry hysterically for hours, how lonely you are, and nobody cares. Because you don't let anybody in because you're so fucking stubborn that you don't even listen to yourself.
So what's your point? I mean, it happens when I'm drunk and I get it out and I'm good for another 3 months.
Oh, dear God. Okay, let's talk about something else. Because
okay.
I'm so tired of slamming my head against a brick fucking wall. I cannot even express. I can't. Oh, my gosh.
You're the one that brought it up.
Well, let's talk about these Jacksons. They sure are crazy, aren't they?
Nice segue.
That was like a month ago. What you talking about?
Here we thought Mike was the crazy one. But boy, all of them are crazy. I just don't even understand how... I think you said about a month ago, Jeff, how you were like, you would pay $1 million to watch a couple seconds of a reality show for the Jacksons.
No, I would pay $50 for a half hour. Like, I would spend my whole paycheck a week because that shit would be great.
We need a campaign. Like, we need to do a Facebook page. Mm-hmm. We need a Jackson reality show. Jackson reality show. Like, we need to sell them on this because I'm just so intrigued by the mysteries of the Jacksons, and they
Listen,
are nuts. All of
I
them.
Have to wonder if the whole thing isn't setting a stage for someone to come to them and ask them to do a reality show.
Well, this is the thing. The brothers are on tour right now. And although they're divided, they still are performing. And I'm sure it doesn't hurt that they're all over, you know, people who probably wouldn't have even known the concert was going on probably now know the concert and are like, I got to see these four together or
right.
five
I
together.
I kind of
want
to do that myself.
Here's, exactly. ticket sales.
Was that all
good.
For publicity?
Well, I'm sure. Because I heard that like 11 out of the 25 events or something have already been canceled due to poor ticket sales.
Right, right. Well, you know what I say to this? I think, I mean, this is the thing. How are you going to have a Jackson concert and Michael and Janet aren't there? Like, is this
right.
Nobody wants to see Tito. Nobody wants to see Jermaine. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm keeping it real. But I think, like, at the end of the day, it's all really about money because those kids hold the key to the fortune. You know, Michael had the Beatles catalog, and it's all about money. The lawyers can say they have the best interest of the kids at heart, but we all know lawyers are liars. The parents can say they have, but we all know that these kids are the ones that hold the key, you know. Obviously, Michael Jackson's brothers can't do the concerts on their own. They're not selling tickets.
Nope.
Right.
Yeah. So...
It's very true. Well, you know what kills me is they're all like, oh, Paris wants to start a career. And I'm like, but baby, like, there's something you should probably know. You're not actually a Jackson. Like, there's no genes in you that are giving you Michael Jackson.
You know what I'm trying to think of? Like, what would happen if, like, the father one day came out? And just
like, I'm like,
do
the kids even know? Like, were they shielded enough? Like, I'm sure it's probably out there on the internet.
Well, whoever donated the sperm has to know. They know that they donated that sperm. But
yeah,
I'm sure
true.
They're not ordered by a legal document or something. Like, if you say something, you have to give us back that $1 million we paid you to shut up all these years.
Yeah, right. At this point, I'm sure if the story broke, they could give back the $1 million and make a ton more.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right, like TMZ would probably pay them enough just to take a DNA test.
Oh, I know.
Mari Povich would be all over it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, literally, they could write a book. Like, they could be like, I am the father of Michael Jackson's kids. And you know we'd all tune in to the news break just to see the results of the test. Like,
oh, hell yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, this is great.
Hell yeah.
I'd be all over it. I would be like... watching Diane Sawyer or somebody read the results.
No, I want Robin Roberts to cover it. I can't. Mm-mm.
You don't like Diane?
No, I'm over her. I'm a Robin Roberts, Laura Spencer kind of girl.
Okay. Well, one of them could do it. I mean, they definitely need a breaking story.
We're already deciding who's going to cover the story.
I want Janet Jackson to read the results of the maternity test.
Okay, so since you knew Janet, was she a bitch?
No, she's the sweetest thing ever. Sweetest person. She's the type of person that if she sees you, she would be like, she would remember who you are. Like, she came to my concert when we performed at a mall. Like, you know, it was her, Johnny Gill, and, like, Ralph President from New Edition. Like, they came to our concert, and we were like, oh, my God! Like, to look out in the audience and see Janet Jackson standing there dancing to your song was pretty, pretty phenomenal.
Yeah. So did you know she was married?
You know, we didn't know, no. I mean, we knew that guy, too. He was with her, actually, that day. So, no, nobody knew, but, I mean, I could understand why she would, like, the thing about her family, they get scrutinized on whatever they do. Like, when we saw the video, they were like, Janet Jackson slaps Paris, and I was like, she never slapped the girl. Like,
no.
So it's like, anything they do, they get scrutinized. So I'm like, I could understand why she's like, bump that, like, because she said, she goes, I saw what they did to Whitney and Bobby. I ain't trying to, I wasn't trying to have them tear my marriage apart, so
right.
I didn't say nothing. Very interesting
right.
approach, but yeah.
Well, I think she almost had to, and it's true, because, like, she was just having, you know, like, her brother's dead. Those are her nieces and nephews. Like, she's got a kind of, you know, she's just trying to take care of shit, and everybody's like, okay, because
right.
you've never slapped your kid before? Like, come on.
Right, and sometimes I think teenagers need to be jacked up. Like, that's the time you have to go toe-to-toe with a teenager.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Check them, especially a rich teenager who knows we hold the key to the fortune. Like,
yeah. Like, especially if she said, this is our house, not your house, get out. Like, I'm sorry, but I would have snatched that little bitch up by her fucking head. And I would have tore her hair out of her little fucking hair. and I would have watched her scream as I ripped out every fucking last strand and be like, now, bitch, go let me see you go get a weave with nothing to fucking tie it to. Go on, bitch.
That's fresh.
Ouch.
Remind me to protect my weave.
I'd have fucked that little girl up. I would have fucking tore her ass the fuck up.
Oh,
hey, no
God.
Way in hell. See, that's why I can't fucking have children because I'm going to go to prison. Because I tell you one time, Big Shan's daughter, she fucking got in my face because her mother and her girlfriend hid her bike. She would leave it out on the sidewalk, just in the middle of the sidewalk, and she goes to take off for the weekend with her grandmother. I'm like, you need to pick that up before somebody steals it. So she comes home, the bike's gone, and I don't know where it is, and she's flipping out, calling me a liar. She's like 13, screaming in my face, you're a liar. I called her mother, was like, honey, you need to come home and save your daughter's life because I'm going to kill her. Like, I chased that little bitch out my house. Like, was not playing. And then her father's sitting there, and he don't know what to do. And I'm, like, shaking, and I'm running after her. And I'm like, if I get my fucking hands on you, I'm going to beat your ass. She straight called me a liar. I'm like, I don't care if you're 13. I'm going to put your ass over my knee, and I'm going to whoop it.
Wow.
Yeah, my mom used to be like, don't ever forget who is running the show here in this thing.
Like, that's what I'm saying. And she's like, you're a liar. And then I'm like, go home. Get your ass home. Don't come to my house. Go get all my shit that you got. Bring it over because you're done. Then didn't this bitch go sneak on my back porch? And she's sitting on the back porch trying to hear if we're telling where the bike's at.
Oh, my God. She thought you stole it.
Yeah, she thought I hit her bike on her. And I was like, well, this is what you get for not putting your shit away like I told you to.
Oh, my God. That's the funniest story ever.
Dude, and the best part was, I didn't even really know where the bike was. I didn't have the thing. Her mother and her girlfriend took it.
Oh, wow.
Mm.
Wow.
Oh,
that little girl, ooh. I never wanted to fuck a child up so bad in my life. I had to call my mother and ask her for some drugs. I was like,
well,
you got to calm me down because I'm going
to
kill this little girl.
You hurt Mike a couple times in your life, so yeah, no.
What?
you have told the stories about where you wanted to kill Mike. So I don't know what story you
Oh, really?
They're
going to end it on that? What the fuck? Oh, no, fucking Sammy was just about hanging off a thing on Dave, and EJ is trying to pull her back up. Oof. Shit
you
went
need
down
to stop watching Days of Our Lives while we're taping shows.
Sorry.
We're supposed to be filming a reality show as we speak. Like I love that we're in L.A., and instead of sitting outside in the backyard with Joe and I, you're now watching fucking Days of Our Lives.
Listen, I have all this newfound free time on my hands. I'm loving it.
Oh,
Karen, can you come pick me up? I want to go to Chick-fil-A.
Only if you're in drag.
Or better yet, take me to In-N-Out Burger. I like that shit. It's greasy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love some In-N-Out Burger. Or wait, no, I'm thinking of Five Guys. Slide in, slide out. Oof, I love it.
Yeah, Five Guys is big here, too. So we got, it's going to be, it's crazy. It's crazy to say the least. Oh, man. Oh, my God. Well, guys, this is yet again another riveting and intriguing show. Mike J., we have to thank you for being so open about your life and letting us, you know, talk about it so candidly.
I do what I can.
I'm going to go fucking have a big drink. Karen, let's go to that place. I want to go see if I can get a weed license, frankly.
Okay, for sure. Got you.
I can smoke it how I want, right? They'll let me roll a blunt. I'm going to take one to the head tonight.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Let's see how this LA weed doing.